from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, happy Friday. We have a weather caveat to analyze today. That's always fun. The plan is for the Bills to play their starters for about a quarter and a half unless it rains.
It's, I don't think if it rains, it's like how much it rains and how much it affects footing, I guess. I'm disappointed because a couple of weeks ago, or maybe just last week, I don't remember now, the Jets and Washington were practicing jointly, and there was weather. And Rodgers didn't participate in the practice because it was raining. And I had that filed away for like a future reverse AFC power rankings, ready to like make fun of them because they can't have their quarterback play when it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
And now today the Bills are talking about not playing their guys because it might rain. So I'm admitting that I could have really stepped in it. I didn't, but now I will see. Maybe in a couple of weeks I'll forget all about this, and then I'll still hammer them for holding Rodgers out because it was raining.
It's definitely that the starters would play less if it rains, not more.
I think that's the idea. Yeah, yeah. Slippery field. You don't want to have somebody have a non-contact blowout.
Grass field.
Yeah, grass field.
What do you think the difference is in odds of an injury like that if it's raining?
I think significant.
Really?
Yeah, although I'm not at my peak.
You're like a non-contact injury risk?
I think when footing is compromised, that's always risky. Yeah. I'm far from my athletic peak, but I feel like I'm much different on a wet surface these days. I don't trust myself as much. I'm a zig and zag in there anymore. This is not any subtlety to my route running when it's wet.
There are three things I want. Do you have a list of things you want from this game?
Sure.
Once you put your money in, you'll have an additional one, maybe, if you do that. Eh. I saw Pittsburgh -4.5.
I don't know.
Yesterday. Three things I want. This one's easy. This one everybody would say the same. You know, the Milano injury, the other injuries at safety. I don't need one more of those.
No, it'd be nice if no one important, it'd be nice if no one at all got hurt,
right?
But certainly no one that is supposed to matter in the big picture here.
Then I think it might be worth really scrutinizing the way those guys are, whether it rains or not, how much those guys play, the guys that are left at those positions. Of course, the Bills would know much more about the status
of the safeties who are out, Spector, right? You know, what they really expect to have happen with those players. But it's already a little shaky. You know, Sal came on yesterday and was talking about, we asked him how the Bills will compensate for the loss of Milano. And the first thing he said was, well, last year when they did this, they played dime more.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have the guys to do that, or else I'm no less vulnerable. So,
and yeah, and Cole Bishop, I think, is one of the key guys for that idea. I think that's the name Sal came up with when mentioning how Poyer played that role, sort of like a hybrid linebacker, closer mm-hmm. to the line of scrimmage type of deal. I feel like Bishop, at least as an entry point, could be someone they could deploy that way. I think he was used more in like a man-on-man, closer to the line of scrimmage box safety, I guess, in college. So that would have been a role that would be there for him, and maybe it still will be if he, you know, he gets back on the practice field next week. Maybe then maybe there's still a chance at that. But yeah, they're thin at a position already. That if they were to go that route, like you're alluding to, what Sal said yesterday, then you need even more flexibility. And right now, I don't think, you know, they don't even have bodies, let alone flexibility.
No, you need bodies and flexibility.
Right, both. Yeah.
So that's big tomorrow night, I think, or potentially it could be, with the problems they have already in depth at those positions. Starters, too. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Second thing I want is for Keon Coleman to be open. And, you know, even better if he's like catches a pass.
Yeah.
Open.
Yeah.
That's something I want to see.
Yeah.
The starters are going to play more than last week.
He did catch a pass last week, I think. I don't know how open he was, but I think he caught one.
That would be the thing I think that I think I'd be like most people need to feel better about when it comes to Coleman. And that's not to say it's been a disappointment so far. It's just that's the rap on him. Generally speaking, that's the rap on him. If he's not open and he comes down with one, that's the guy I thought we were getting. If he's open, like, ooh, what happened here? Did somebody fall down? Okay, well. But maybe if he sort of shook somebody and you see a nice Bills play from Coleman, yeah. Yes. And, you know,
all the better if he shakes somebody. They also are supposed to be, I think, scheming guys open. And that's a part of the everybody's going to eat and everybody's going to take turns is we're going to have things laid out here. I mean, you got to get the right, you know, you got to be right about what you think they're going to try to do on defense to have that work for you. But that's a part of the idea here. Alan has talked about that, how like even there was like one big play at some point in practice, and I know I heard him say, like, yeah, it was a great play by the receiver. I think it was Hollins who caught the ball, but the other guys that did the work around it to clear out so that he was open. So some of that, I'd like to see some evidence of that too.
The biggest thing will be usage, I think, for all the investment we've made in what the receivers, you know, what the outlook is for all these guys, what the plan is. What you want from the preseason is some proof of what the Bills really want it to look like. And that comes from not like who gets the ball necessarily or whether they beat their guy, but how they line up. And Hollins, he's the one that I forget about the most often, right? I'm obsessed with all this. And Samuel's an investment and a player I've always liked. And Coleman is a big investment. And Shakir, that's promising. All of it, you mm-hmm. know, right there. Then you have the fringe guys like MVS and Claypool we obsessed about. Hollins I always forget about. But are we expecting him to just sort of always be out there? Is he going to be Davis in that way?
I think there's a very good chance that that happens. What I think might, and this is... I don't think this is lazy because of the body type, size. I feel like Coleman might be a big key to that. Because if Coleman warrants a longer leash, if he deserves to be on the field more, I feel like Hollins is the trade there. Like I don't, even though we've talked a lot about Coleman and maybe him being ideal for the slot, but I think Shakir and Kincaid are squatting on the slot. Like they are the slot guys. So I feel like an outside, and Samuel's just like this sort of, you know, Swiss Army knife guy. I think he's going to be out there a lot. I feel like if you're going to have three receiver sets, Coleman has to displace Hollins.
I feel like. And I don't know if that's happening or not. I mean, I know he's getting lots of reps with Josh Allen, but I don't know once the games start whether they'll trust the veteran and sort of spot, you know, snap Coleman. But I think that that's, yeah, I'm bracing for Hollins. I'm bracing for us to be frustrated, and not just you and me, I mean the fans in general, because Hollins is not a super exciting, interesting prospect, really. He's kind of a guy. And if he's on the field more than Coleman, it's going to make everybody crazy, I think. But I'm sort of bracing for that. I think that's possible.
At best, he's a guy.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
At best. Like at best, you've got a replacement level sort of player there that, you know, why are the Bills like hot for him? Because he's probably not a mistakes guy. You know, he's probably safe. But I don't think that there's much upside with him. I think you might be right that Coleman moves in, but that would not make me optimistic for Coleman, because I think this whole program is meant to be a little bit more conservative than we've had for the most part over the last 4 years. And I think Hollins is like maybe evidence of that. The fact that he's here at all and that there's really almost never been any discussion or speculation about whether he'll make it. It's kind of assumed that he'll make it. You know, Sal talks like that and the media talk like that about him, and he's on the field a lot. So that'll be interesting. Not so much necessarily tomorrow, but I would predict week one, he plays much more than Coleman. And then, you know, you have Kincaid here, which if they're going to play three wide receivers, I guess that means Knox is not on the field. And you and I have gone back and forth on this, because in my prediction of, again, like the general form of the Bills offense, Knox will play, because that is the safer, conservative, you know, blocker type. He's on the field, which means either Kincaid isn't, which is not optimal. Like, why did we do this? Or maybe Shakir isn't. And that is, you know, that's going to be controversial if that's what, like Knox is popular enough, but does he do enough for the Bills to be able to justify one of those other guys not playing? I don't think Coleman counts in that category. He's kind of in a different category for me, being a rookie and playing a different role. But my slot guys are, like, that's what it is. Who is my slot receiver? Is Kincaid it with Knox out there, or is Shakir it? And I don't know, Knox or even Kincaid are on the bench. That's a big question about this offense. That's what's made this offense tough to, I think for most of us, tough to predict. In fantasy, it's absolutely that. There's every analyst has a different idea of what's going to happen. We'll talk to Cody Carpentier later. He'll be back on. He was at the practice yesterday in Pittsburgh, and we'll get his read on what this might look like.
Yeah, I'm really eager to see how that all shakes out. You know, 12 personnel, that's the two tight ends, and 20% is like, you know, it's a number, it's a percentage of snaps that the Bills have been around. Even like the first year with Kincaid, I think that's around where they ended up. And I can't remember now. I don't think that's like high or low. I think it's just sort of like it's in the middle, I think, within the league. But I'm not positive of that. I should check. But I don't know if they're going to increase that, and then you're going to have Knox and Kincaid on the field a lot more, because I'm not sure that that's getting your playmakers out there. So what happens when you're not in that? You know, I would assume that means Knox is out and Kincaid is on the field, if there's only one tight end on the field. But then, like, 20% of your snaps, like, you're paying Dawson Knox, whatever, $13 million, whatever you're paying him.
So, well, one of those guys is going to suffer. Yeah. One of those guys, it's going to look bad on the Bills one way or another.
Right.
For what their investments have been. You know, you got to, you know this, like, you've got to give them some cushion for this kind of thing, because things change. You know, it's a year later. When you drafted Kincaid, you had a different coordinator. You had Diggs on the team. You had Davis on the team. There wasn't the same level of glaring need there. And so situations change, but, you know, I thought the Knox contract was all like a bad idea from the beginning. But, you know, he's one of the boys, and I think that that probably, maybe, I can't.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'd say probably, but I think they like him.
Yes.
So.
They like him. They're paying him. Ergo, they'll use him, right? I mean, that's how the equation usually works. And so, yeah, how does that all fit together? You know, I mean, there's only so many dudes you can have out there at the same time. And if you've got two tight ends, even if one of them is more of a threat, like a bigger play threat like Kincaid is, I'm still not sure that that's your... That should be
the best thing.
What they need to do is make the running game within that work to sort of validate it. You know, or like really use Knox in the passing game when they're in those sets, and that works too. But I just don't. He's not like a super dangerous. I'm not eager to get the ball in his hands.
Here. This is. Let me try one more time. Why I'm expecting Knox. This is logical to me. So they fired Dorsey. They go to Brady from when Knox comes back from injury through the playoffs. He plays 7 games. For the Bills, with Brady as the offensive coordinator, never less than 40% of the snaps. I mean, that's not 90, but we're talking about how...
It's not 20.
It's not 20. Like, he played 62% of the snaps against Dallas. That's a game script situation. They were way ahead. Running
the
ball.
They ran like crazy, right.
Every other game, he played between 40 and 50% of the snaps. Like, that's game plan... He rarely got the ball. It's a total of 11 targets in 7 games. So what did they do with him? He's a second left tackle, right? Like, Knox is on the field to support the running game. It's absolutely what they wanted to do and did it. and were successful. Would you not say that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they lost one game in this stretch, and it was the last one, and their offense wasn't even really bad in that game. So,
The playoff game.
So, to me, what's most logical is that they would want to repeat that, and especially because they are not Diggs and Davis's team anymore. Now they are a hodgepodge. You've seen how they've acted. They are still looking for somebody. They're still looking for more options at receiver. Why would that make it less likely that Knox would play? Kincaid was on the team for all these games. Like, there was never that he wasn't there. And Knox was still playing almost half the snaps every week through the playoffs. That's all of why I think that's going to happen again. And if it does, as we just figured out, or if we've talked about this a lot, but somebody you like suffers if they do that.
And my guess is that's Coleman. But it's not just him, though. I mean, two tight ends means two receivers. Probably,
right.
You know, if you, whatever, they can spread it out and have five people out there, and one of them doesn't have to be a running back. So, I mean, that can happen too. But, you know, we've seen them use, I mean, Latavius Murray was split out wide a lot with this team last year. It would make me crazy. Like we got you. You thought we were going to run, but Latavius Murray's out there. Like, what threat is that? Are they even going to cover him?
I don't even know if they have a move like that now.
I don't know what the hell that was.
Who's the big back? They run split out Ray Davis, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting to my third
or
thing.
Are these tight ends? Like, whatever. Knox, Kincaid, whatever. They'll do some of that, maybe.
They'll definitely do some of that,
yeah.
I would think. We're not even to your list yet.
I don't really have a list.
Number three is I want to see Davis flash. I want to see a Davis breakaway run. Yeah. The first game, he got nowhere. He made a couple nice plays in the passing game, Davis, but nothing on the ground. That was one of the stories of the game. And, you know, count me in as being like every fan through the preseason, where you're just excited about the new underdog Bills running back or something. He's not quite that. He's not sort of a guy from nowhere. He's a fourth round pick without a depth chart that makes you wonder if he'll make it. He'll make it. I'd like to see some talent. I think it's there. I'd like to see the talent on Saturday from Davis, who probably will play quite a bit.
I respect you. Yeah, I think so too.
Unless it rains.
Cody Carpentier, I think, who will be on with us in 45 minutes or so, you mentioned, was at these practices. I saw his rundown of what he observed, and Ty Johnson's back from his injury, and he was the second back in at practice, as Cody observed it yesterday. And I don't know, maybe that was notable. Like, I sort of felt like Davis was already ahead of him because of the injury, but as soon as he was ready to practice, he was right back there ahead of Davis. So that might indicate that Davis will play a lot. Maybe they feel like they know what they've got in Ty Johnson. He played some games for them last year and was, he was fine. I have no problem if he's my backup running back, but I was expecting it to be Davis. So maybe he's got work to do to get it. I respect you putting together a list. I mostly just want everybody to stay healthy.
It took me all day.
That's it. I got it. Because all of this is good, but preseason pledge. Like, I don't know how much of it would mean anything. Like, how they use people, what formations they're in. Like, I don't know if any of it's real.
Let's test it.
Just, getting through the game kind of idea here. And so I don't know how meaningful any of that will end up being.
Let's test it. Let's go in reverse order. If Davis does not have a good run, you'll ask me, so what does this mean? And I'll say nothing, probably.
Me
and
too.
If Coleman is not open, doesn't shake somebody and get a pass downfield, what will this mean? Nothing. But it will be, like, he's somebody I question. And so it will be one more time when I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means a little bit more than nothing. And the injury one is just sort of different.
It's kind of obvious.
Obvious. It's the only thing that can happen that's necessarily bad.
Right. Or good. Like, you get through the game completely healthy. Good. Great. Like, that's the most important thing, way more to me than Davis or Coleman or any of this other stuff. Like, what percentage of two tight ends they're in or anything in a preseason game is not something I intend to keep in my hip pocket for September.
No, that's right. That would be nice if you knew what the Bills or any team, if you knew that what they were showing was, like, legitimate or not.
Mm-hmm.
But you really can't know that. Are they lining up this way because this is the idea? This is the plan? That should be how it is.
But I think it almost never is.
Couldn't it be that this is how we're going to line up, but what we're going to run is not what we're going to run? I mean, that's...
Well, sure, maybe that. Or, you know, I don't know, couldn't you... This is probably the height of preseason silliness here, but like...
Love it.
Couldn't you just run your stuff? And like, no one's going to respect it. They're not going to think, oh, like Arizona's not going to watch this game. And whatever the Bills do, I would assume they're going to go, oh, well, that's not what they're going to do against us. But if you actually did what you're going to do against them, you might have an edge. Because they would dismiss it out of hand. Like, there's no way they just showed us what they're going to do against us in week one against Pittsburgh on Saturday night. But if you actually do it and you work on that stuff, that could be good for you.
It's enough to make you crazy. It's the Princess Bride.
Right.
It's Wallace Shawn and the Princess Bride trying to figure out which one has the poison. But see, they did it, so they won't.
Right.
But that maybe they will. Maybe that's why they did it, to practice. That would make sense. So that can't be it.
Right.
So they probably won't. You just want to. You end up ruling out whatever it was they did. Because, you know, that. Yeah. Why would they do the thing they're going to do?
Feels like this is some branch of the river. I want my team to win, but I'll bet against them. So if they don't, I still win. that same sort of logic pretzel, I think, is what I'm like a tributary of that river with this nonsense.
I hope someone out there is thinking of like the Kelly Bills. We have 8 plays. Do you want to know what's going to be?
Right.
If you want me to just tell you what the play is, I will.
We're just going to do it and run it down your throat anyway.
We're going to beat you anyway.
Right.
I'm going to tell you some poker, some game theory stuff. I'm going to tell you what the play is, and you're going to be like, I don't know. Should I believe that? Why would he tell me? Why would he tell me what he's holding? I have 2 9s.
Right.
I'm holding 2 9s. Why would you tell me that? Maybe I'm not. But I do. I am holding 2 9s. I love that move. But I like to do it, but really mean it. Then the next time.
Right. Right. Exactly.
All right. You have a list out there, 803-0550. What you want from Saturday night that isn't just don't get hurt. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Bulldog mentioned Cody Carpentier, some fantasy analysis, but more, having been at Bill Steelers and his thoughts on how the Bills have looked and what they might look like when it matters. Sal Capaccio from Pittsburgh, probably at 5 or a few minutes after to preview the game. Lines are open. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
That was the one thing in his college tape. I made the comment. I said he's always putting the ball 1 foot in front of the back, or 1 foot in, like, right in the right spot. And then you watch the pro day. He had like 83 throws, and I graded 82 in the perfect location. He had one where the guy tweaked the shoulder.
Denver Broncos coach Sean Payton talking about his rookie quarterback, Bo Nix, who's expected to start Sunday in their second preseason game and also week one. Not been made official, but all signs
trending,
seem to point to that.
Trending that direction.
Who does he throw to? Rank the Bronco. Tough team.
Cortland Sutton. I'm done. Is Tim Patrick still there?
Yes. That's like, the name I was excited to get to, is Tim Patrick. Off 2 major leg injuries, but he is still there. They have Josh Reynolds.
Okay.
They paid Josh Reynolds. They drafted in the second round last year Marvin Mims. He was kind of a darling, fantasy darling last year. Never got anywhere, Mims. And then this year, who did they draft? Troy Franklin.
Right, and that's going really badly.
They say it's not looking good so far for Troy Franklin.
He's like getting outplayed by guys that are supposed to be pretty far down the depth chart, is what I'm
reading. There's another... I've meant to look up a clip so I can hear his name pronounced. There's another rookie, maybe undrafted, Vele.
Okay.
Who was one of these players, like everybody I mentioned.
Yeah.
And then that's this guy that might be ahead of Franklin.
Okay.
Running back is kind of a tough one, too. Javonte Williams has been good.
Right.
Audric Estime has not, they say.
And is Perine there now, too?
Samaje Perine is still there. And Jaleel McLaughlin. smaller running back who did some things last year. Tough team to figure out. Best not to try. Leave it to others.
That's what I'm going to do.
To tell you.
That's what I'm going to do.
What's going to happen.
I've also read today that there's a heated battle at the number two quarterback spot there between Zach Wilson and Jarrett Stidham.
Everything is so heated.
Wilson is reborn. He's having a great camp.
That was Diana Russini, I think, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
He's reborn?
I don't want to pin that phrasing
I think
her,
I saw something like that,
but
though.
But it was, invigorating, something. Like, he's just, it's going well. But, it's also practice. So we'll see. I think Zach Wilson's problem is, I think, usually once people start trying to tear his head off, he just gets like, ah!
But even in previous years with the Jets, it maybe not as a rookie, but I think I want to say it was like this. Camp highlights and clips were pretty awful. Not just, throwing against air.
Okay.
Sometimes maybe Zach Wilson didn't look so good.
And that's changed here, it seems like.
Maybe.
I don't know.
No pressure?
I'm skeptical about everything that comes out of Denver. Because I feel, whether this is not to cast aspersions on, I really do trust Benjamin Albright, and I have nothing against Diana Russini.
I think you do.
But I just feel like Peyton is such a powerful figure that, there is, I don't know. I just worry that people are just carrying water for him. They're like, this looks good. Everything looks good. Everything looks good. Because it was kind of a disaster last year. Wasn't he brought there to fix Russell Wilson? And then they threw themselves on an $80 million grenade? So, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of PR effort behind the Broncos to sort of, I don't know. Just like, no, this is where, Sean Payton knows what he's doing.
Everything is actually fine.
Yeah. Maybe it is. I don't know. Again, I'm not. I think Albright's pretty bullish on them and thinks their defense is going to be good. And again, I want to trust him, but I don't know. Just a lot of this stuff. It's I got a Peyton problem.
Well, the one thing I will give him, I'm no fan. I think it might work out with Knicks because of his style and. Thinking of Drew Brees and how mm-hmm. he played, like he doesn't have to be Drew Brees. He doesn't have to be Drew Brees to work out. But so I'm not predicting that. But he's going to throw the ball in the flat all the time and run. He can run too.
And if he's really good at what Sean Payton was just talking about, that is something that will help that work. It makes sense, as skeptical as I can be about Payton. I would think he knows what kind of offense he wants to run. So therefore, what traits am I looking for in a quarterback? And someone who can put it where a guy is going to have an easier time running after he catches it might be vital to what he's trying to do if it's going to be short, quick passes. So maybe that works.
Yeah, I think we know what kind of offense he wants to run
That doesn't take
career.
Standing in the pocket and going through all the progressions and having the big arm to fit it into a tight window. It's just kind of get it out of there.
He never threw it deep, Breeze.
Right.
Just didn't need to, I guess. Would have been nice once in a while to see it. So I could think he was actually good. I never thought he was actually good. Actually great. He was good. Was he great? Does Breeze... All-time leading passer in the league, maybe, or
think,
he was.
I think you
have to be great.
I think you have to say he was great, but I am all the way with you.
I just never cared.
No,
really, I was never that excited.
Me either. Really, there are. Listen, you can take your shots at Brady. It was still. Until maybe you got sick of him, or maybe you just always were sick of him. I don't know. I feel like objectively. I could get behind, Brady's playing. That was something I wanted to see. Manning, like the great quarterbacks of that era, Favre, like, all right, yeah, show, and they're all different in their Brady's a technician, Manning was maybe both, Favre was a wild man. Breeze it never felt like it was special. Like, I got to get to the TV to see him.
Breeze slander. Who knew this was coming out today? Actually, I did plan on it. I did. I've been carrying it around. I've been ready. Right. Been ready. To slander Drew Brees. Anything you want to see tomorrow night from the Bills or not want to see? I know. Don't get hurt. After that, 803-0550 is the number. The Bisons are on the road. It's a Friday. Maybe somebody's thinking about going to the ballpark, but they're in Scranton. It gives me no pleasure to report that Joey Votto is hitting 161 with one homer for the Bisons so far. He had an RBI last night. They lost. I was in Canada last week, way up, so not anywhere near here to be able to go see him. If he was even home. Were they home last week? I just heard Votto is playing.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I want to see that. I want to see him once in Buffalo. But I haven't yet.
Yeah.
And this week they're away, and he's not hitting, really.
Yeah.
I don't have exit velocity numbers.
The first weekend he was here, he was supposed to play that Friday night, and then he was a late scratch. I went to the Saturday game, and he didn't.
Really?
Well, I left after the bottom of the 10th, maybe. So if he pinch hit in the 11th, I missed it.
What are you doing leaving a game in the bottom of the 10th? You care?
It was really long.
Don't they have a pitch clock?
It was extra innings. It went to the 11th. It was extra innings.
Okay, after the 10th inning, you left.
After the 10th, we left.
We need to know.
It was like, you know what?
You didn't need to see it.
I'll read about it in the paper.
I just don't need to see what happens here.
I'll do some box score scouting.
That's no good.
Tomorrow
no
morning good. To find out how this game ended. As it turned out, the Bisons gave up, I think, 5 runs in the top of the 11th, and then that was it. Game ended. So,
well, he's an all-time great. And I'd like to see this turnaround for him. He's 40.
Yeah.
At least. I think he's at least 40. Joey Votto.
All-time great?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. He is an all-time great. I'm not prepared for, like, sort of giving you a comp or a ranking or anything like that, but...
Like, I mean, is there a Hall of Fame pitch coming here?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Votto?
Yeah.
I think so.
All right.
Won an MVP almost unanimously. He's just like consistently one of the few best hitters in the game for like what, 12 years, maybe more. I got to brush up. I might be wrong here, but
all right.
I think it's like a given.
Wow, I mean I've been with you for his entire career, and I always knew, I always heard the name, and I know that there was really good seasons in there. I never thought of him as all time great. So I maybe should have been more eager to see him play.
He'll be 41 in a month, led the league in on base percentage 7 times.
Wow.
MVP, second another time.
How many championships did he lead his teams to, Mike? How many rings?
You're breaking up.
How many rings he's got? That's what I need to know now.
You want
to
know war? 64.5 war. Does that impress you? Just without even knowing
I have no context for war. What's a good number there? Like, what's
very good.
Is 100 the best?
No.
Okay.
They'll be better than that.
Okay.
Career?
Yeah.
I don't know. The problem with war is there's not one agreed formula.
Oh. It's like quarterback ranking.
Sort of. I mean, there is a quarterback rating, that 158.3,
right?
Whatever that formula is.
There's like QBR now, too. Like,
yeah.
There's different stuff.
There are a few different, maybe more than a few now, different metrics that people have invented. But there is a quarterback rating.
Yep.
War, though, there's never been, I think, sort of like a uniform formula for it. Baseball Reference has theirs. Other places have their own. And you don't get to know what the formula is.
Oh, wow. So it's all proprietary?
It's all proprietary and secretive. War.
That makes it
Wins
challenging to really
I know, it'd be
lean
more,
on it then.
It's hard to sort of embrace it.
Right.
Because you don't know how to compute it and then necessarily be able to compare players, you know, crossing eras or anything like that. That's what's baseball fans love to do that. So war, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it works well enough. You can use it. But you don't exactly know what it's telling you.
Awesome.
What it's lacking.
I feel like I've learned nothing right now.
Oh,
now,
come on.
That's what I learned. Nothing. Well, I learned Joey Votto is better than I thought he was.
Or
knew him to be. I learned that, and maybe some of our audience did too. Maybe some of our audience is laughing at me because I didn't realize that was an all-time great.
I don't know that I'm even necessarily in the majority on that. I think I'm close. I have to be close, but is it a given that he makes it? I can't tell you that I know that.
Okay.
But I feel like it probably should be. And he's always been interesting too. Like, he doesn't suffer fools. He's not, he will challenge the media, you know, when he was really in his prime. He wasn't even beloved because, you know, it's more of a nuanced game. His career spans a long time. For like maybe the first half of it, I would say he might not have been appreciated as well as he should have been. And then, you know, the game moved toward walks.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I think a thinking that, all right, he was right and he deserved more credit for the player he was. Because he was, you know, he hit home runs, but he was never like that guy. He's never Judge, right? He was always more of an on-base guy. And I think, you know, his critics would be like, swing the bat.
Okay.
Drive in runs. Yep. That's what we need you to do is drive in runs, but he would take the pitch. I'm obviously, you know, generalizing here.
Sure, yeah.
Making certain assumptions.
Well, maybe the front end of his career when he was perceived that way is why I perceive him that way. Maybe I underappreciated him.
Last 2 years with the Reds, and he played quite a bit, 205, 202. Toronto gave him a chance here and struggling with the Bisons, it seems. All right. Cody Carpentier coming up at 4. If you want to give us a call on tomorrow night's Bills-Steelers preseason game, we would like that. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Sure, preseason game number 2 tomorrow. Almost most of the NFL is in action tomorrow. And there's Sunday action too. Nothing tonight. One game last night, the Eagles and the Patriots. I didn't see any of that.
I watched a good bit of it.
You did?
Yes.
Anything good
happened? Drake May, I get why, you know, preseason pledge notwithstanding. Drake May looked good, I would say. Just missed a play. Really, it was more Polk dropped the ball. Or no, Baker. Which one?
Baker. It was had Baker. A big drop.
The long one. I mean, he had to lay out for it, but it was there. And I don't know where else, if May had thrown that any shorter, the defender would have been able to get it. So I think it was pretty much a perfectly placed ball, but it was asking the receiver to lay out to catch it, and he couldn't do it. But if he'd had that one, it would have been maybe off the charts a good day. But he looked, to me, very poised. Got out of there when he needed to get out of there, extended a couple plays to convert third down one time. So I caught a good, he played a good amount of the game. He came in right at the start of the second quarter and I think played into the third quarter. So it was a good
must
sample.
Must not have rained.
Had, right? There was weather before the game, but I think it cleared up during the game. So yeah, he led them to a field goal drive. The field goal was like 51 yards, so it's not like they got real close, but then a touchdown drive, he ran it in. I would say he looked good. And Polk looks nice, too, I think.
Okay. Well, yes, week 2 of the preseason, or if they call it week 3, then it's week 3 because there was that one Hall of Fame game a couple of weeks ago. But I'm starting to look ahead to week 1 of the real season more and more often. You know, I'm eager to set some lineups here and consider some spreads. Arizona, as you know. At Buffalo, week 1. We've been talking a lot about Minnesota lately. They have a tough schedule. We had the J.J. McCarthy injury. Did you know that the Vikings coaching staff has some Buffalo connections?
I guess I did not know that.
So Wes Phillips.
Or if I knew it, I've forgotten it.
Wes Phillips, Wade's son is the offensive coordinator of the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell gets all the
right.
You know, the juice for that offense.
I thought the family business was defense in the Phillips house. That's I'm surprised.
You know, he was a quarterback, right?
That's
Wes?
Right. That's right. Yep.
You ever talked to him? I never did.
I never
have.
No.
I got to know
Wade a little bit because he was, you know, he became the head coach while I was, you know, on BEN. We sat together a few times, but
same. Also ran into Wade Phillips at an airport once. He was getting his shoes shined.
I saw Wade Phillips jogging on a road just off the Fredonia campus wearing a promotional hat that we had given them with a little Bulldog insignia on the back.
Oh, that's got to feel good.
So I was driving. He's
wearing your hat.
I'm like, oh, there's a dude running. I wonder who this is. I'm like, and you know, coming up behind him, he's running away. You know, he's running the same direction as me. And I'm like, that looks like Wade. I'm like, whoever this is wearing one of my hats. It's Wade wearing my hat jogging on a country road in Chautauqua County. It was awesome.
I think it was Wade Phillips and Tom Modrak. Did they overlap? Who were getting their shoes shined together at the Philadelphia airport. And I knew them.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not sure. Is that
right?
I don't think
Modrak came here until Donahoe, and Donahoe was after Wade.
Yeah, that's how I remember too. But for some reason, I think of them together.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Probably wrong. Yeah. So Wes Phillips is the offensive coordinator of the Vikings. And interesting point you make, you know, defensive family, his father. Also, like O'Connell, he runs the offense. So you might not ever hear who the offensive coordinator of the Vikings is, right? Because of O'Connell being the head coach.
Yep.
Remember the name Curtis Modkins?
Sure.
Curtis Modkins was the offensive coordinator of the Bills when Chan Gailey was the coach. Similar.
Okay, right.
Modkins is in Minnesota.
Coaching?
Running backs.
Running backs, okay.
And the run game coordinator.
All right.
You know, I'm thinking of leaving. What can you do for me? We'll just give you a better title.
Right.
And the assistant head coach of the Vikings was once the defensive coordinator of the Bills, maybe at the same time. Mike Pettine.
Oh, sure. I remember that name. Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Mike Pettine, was he a Rex guy? I feel like he was maybe Rex's coordinator with the Jets and then went to Cleveland as a head coach.
He was a head coach in Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah. Mike Pettine. Boy, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
He is the assistant head coach of the Vikings.
All right.
There might be other guys we know too, but that's the Pro Football Reference page lists coordinators and other notable assistants, and That's everybody except Brian Flores, who is the defensive coordinator.
Right. There's a lot of familiar names there.
There are. So I thought you would like to know that.
I did like to know that. I like thinking about Mike Pettine. Sure. Yeah. All right. Rex dudes.
Modkins before that. Modkins, Gailey.
Yeah.
Then you have Schwartz, too. Schwartz was Marone?
I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah, because Rex came in and like, oh, they were only third. We're going to be better than that.
Yes. Yes. Didn't need Schwartz.
Or whatever they were. Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Where's he now?
He is... No. Where is he? He's a defensive... Cleveland is right. Okay.
Yeah. Defensive coordinator of the Browns.
Yeah.
And Ken Dorsey is the offensive... It's just so incestuous. Ken Dorsey is the offensive coordinator of the Browns, replacing Alex Van Pelt.
Who's the offensive coordinator of the Patriots.
Right. Yeah.
Which is where we started. There was a game last night.
Now it makes sense. That was worth talking about.
Put a bow on it. Back to New England. Play some commercials.
Let's go. Cody Carpentier next. He'll talk Bills Steelers practice. We'll mix some fantasy stuff in with Cody. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. There's not one agreed formula.
Oh. It's like quarterback ranking.
Sort of. I mean, there is a quarterback rating, that 158.3,
right.
Whatever that formula is.
There's like QBR now, too. There's different stuff.
There are a few different, maybe more than a few now, different metrics that people have invented. But there is a quarterback rating.
Yep.
War, though, there's never been, I think, sort of like a uniform formula for it. Baseball Reference has theirs. Other places have their own. And you don't get to know what the formula is.
Oh, wow. So it's all proprietary?
It's all proprietary and secretive. War.
That makes it challenging to really
lean on it then. It's hard to sort of embrace it.
Right.
Because you don't know how to compute it and then necessarily be able to compare players, you know, crossing eras or anything like that. That's what's baseball fans love to do that. So war, I think. Yeah. I mean, it works well enough. You can use it. But you don't exactly know what it's telling you.
Awesome.
That's what it's lacking.
I feel like I've learned nothing right now.
Oh, come on.
That's what I learned. Nothing. Well, I learned Joey Votto is better than I thought he was.
Or
knew him to be. I learned that, and maybe some of our audience did too. Maybe some of our audience is laughing at me because I didn't realize that he was an all-time great.
I don't know that I'm even necessarily in the majority on that. I think I'm close. I have to be close, but is it a given that he makes it? I can't tell you that I know that.
Okay.
But I feel like it probably should be. And he's always been interesting too. Like, he doesn't suffer fools. He's not. He will challenge the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was really in his prime, he wasn't even beloved because, you know, it's more of a nuanced game. His career spans a long time. For like maybe the first half of it, I would say he might not have been appreciated as well as he should have been, and then you know, the game move toward walks.
Uh-huh.
And maybe I think a sort of a thinking that, all right, he was right and he deserved more credit for the player he was. Because he was, you know, he hit home runs, but he was never like that guy. He's never Judge, right? He was always more of an on-base guy. And I think, you know, his critics would be like, swing the bat.
Okay.
Drive in runs. Yep. That's what we need you to do is drive in runs, but he would take the pitch. I'm obviously, you know, generalizing here.
Sure, yeah.
Making certain assumptions.
Well, maybe the front end of his career when he was perceived that way is why I perceive him that way. Just, you know, like, maybe I underappreciated him.
Last 2 years with the Reds, and he played quite a bit, 205, 202. Toronto gave him a chance here and struggling with the Bisons, it seems. All right. Cody Carpentier coming up at 4. If you want to give us a call on tomorrow night's Bills-Steelers preseason game, we would like that. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Sure, preseason game number 2 tomorrow. Almost most of the NFL is in action tomorrow. And there's Sunday action, too. Nothing tonight. One game last night, the Eagles and the Patriots. I didn't see any of that.
I watched a good bit of it.
You did?
Yes.
Anything good
happened? Drake May, I get why, you know, preseason pledge notwithstanding. Drake May looked good, I would say. Just missed a play. Really, it was more Polk dropped the ball. Or no, Baker. Which one?
Baker.
It was
had
Baker,
a big drop.
The long one. I mean, he had to lay out for it, but it was there. And I don't know where else, if May had thrown that any shorter, the defender would have been able to get it. So I think it was pretty much a perfectly placed ball, but it was asking the receiver to lay out to catch it, and he couldn't do it. But if he'd had that one, it would have been maybe off the charts a good day. But he looked, to me, very poised. You know, got out of there when he needed to get out of there, extended a couple plays to convert third down one time. So I caught a good, and he played a good amount of the game. He came in right at the start of the second quarter and I think played into the third quarter. So it was a good
must
sample.
Must not have rained.
There was weather before the game, but I think it cleared up during the game. So yeah, he led them to a field goal drive. The field goal was like 51 yards, so it's not like they got real close, but then a touchdown drive, he ran it in. I would say he looked good. And Polk looks nice, too, I think.
Okay. Well, yes, week 2 of the preseason, or if they call it week 3, then it's week 3 because there was that one Hall of Fame game a couple of weeks ago. But I'm starting to look ahead to week 1 of the real season more and more often. You know, I'm eager to set some lineups here and consider some spreads. Arizona, as you know, at Buffalo week 1. We've been talking a lot about Minnesota lately. They have a tough schedule. We had the J.J. McCarthy injury. Did you know that the Vikings coaching staff has some Buffalo connections?
I guess I did not know that.
So Wes Phillips.
Or if I knew it, I've forgotten it.
Wes Phillips, Wade's son is the offensive coordinator of the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell gets all the the juice for that offense.
I thought the family business was defense in the Phillips house. That's I'm surprised.
You know, he was a quarterback, right?
That's
Wes?
Right. That's right. Yep.
You ever talk to him? I never did.
I never,
never
did.
Have.
No. No.
I
got to know Wade a little bit because he was, you know, he became the head coach while I was, you know, on BEN. We sat together a few times, but
same. Also ran into Wade Phillips at an airport once. He was getting his shoes shined.
I saw Wade Phillips jogging on a road just off the Fredonia campus wearing a promotional hat that we had given them with a little Bulldog insignia on the back.
Oh, that's got to feel good.
I was driving.
He's wearing your hat.
I'm like, oh, there's a dude running. I wonder who this is. I'm like, in front, you know, coming up behind him, he's running away. You know, he's running the same direction as me. And I'm like, that looks like Wade. I'm like, whoever this is wearing one of my hats. It's Wade wearing my hat, jogging on a country road in Chautauqua County. It was awesome.
I think it was Wade Phillips and Tom Modrak. Did they overlap? Who were getting their shoe shine together at the Philadelphia airport?
And I
knew them.
Yeah,
I think I'm not sure. Is that
I don't
right?
think I don't think Modrak came here until Donahoe, and Donahoe was after Wade.
Yeah, that's how I remember too. But for some reason, I think of them together.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Probably wrong. Yeah. So Wes Phillips is the offensive coordinator of the Vikings. And interesting point you make. you know, defensive family, his father. Also, like O'Connell, he runs the offense. So you might not ever hear who the offensive coordinator of the Vikings is, right? Because of O'Connell being the head coach.
Yep.
Remember the name Curtis Modkins?
Sure.
Curtis Modkins was the offensive coordinator of the Bills when Chan Gailey was the coach. Similar.
Okay, right.
Modkins is in Minnesota.
Coaching?
Running backs.
Running backs, okay.
And the run game coordinator.
All right.
You know, I'm thinking of leaving. What can you do for me? We'll just give you a better title.
Right.
And the assistant head coach of the Vikings was once the defensive coordinator of the Bills, maybe at the same time. Mike Pettine.
Oh, sure. I remember that name. Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah. Mike Pettine, didn't he, was he a Rex guy? I feel like he was maybe Rex's coordinator with the Jets and then went to Cleveland as a head coach.
He was a head coach in Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mike Pettine. Boy, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
He is the assistant head coach of the Vikings.
All right.
There might be other guys we know too, but that's the Pro Football Reference page lists coordinators and other notable assistants, and That's everybody except Brian Flores, who is the defensive coordinator.
Right. There's a lot of familiar names there.
There are. So I thought you would like to know that.
I did like to know that. I like thinking about Mike, you know, Mike Pettine. Sure. Yeah. All right. Rex dudes.
Modkins before that. Modkins, Gailey.
Yeah.
Then you have Schwartz, too. Schwartz was Marone?
I think that's right. Yeah. Yeah, because Rex came in and like, oh, they were only third. We're going to be better than that.
Yes. Yes. Didn't need Schwartz.
Or whatever they were. Yeah. I don't remember what it was.
Where's he now?
He is... No. Where is he? He's a defensive...
Cleveland is right.
Cleveland is right? Okay. Yeah.
Defensive coordinator of the Browns.
Yeah.
And Ken Dorsey is the offensive... It's just so incestuous. Ken Dorsey is the offensive coordinator of the Browns, replacing Alex Van Pelt.
Who's the offensive coordinator of the Patriots.
Of the Patriots.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is where we started. There was a game last night.
Now it makes sense. That was worth talking about.
Put a bow on
back
it,
to
quick.
New England.
Play some commercials.
Let's go. Cody Carpentier next. He'll talk Bills Steelers practice. We'll mix some fantasy stuff in with Cody. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.